tell them how glad you are to see them in church this morning. And you can be seated. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you can, bring a can. We are taking up our annual food drive. And so with that, we're asking everyone to bring canned goods. Jesus said, if you see people are hungry, feed them. He didn't say talk about how they need to get a job. He didn't say talk about how they need to be better stewards of the money that they have. No, he said if you see people who are hungry, feed them. Amen. And he says, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've also done unto me. So did you know it's possible to supply food for Jesus? Sure, when you give food to someone else. And so the canned food drive is probably my favorite outreach that the church does because it's an outreach that everyone can get involved in. Everyone can bring a can. Amen. Some of you, and maybe that's all you can do is just bring one can. Well, bring the can that you can bring. Some of you, maybe you can get five cans. Well, if you can do that, bring those cans. Some of you could go to Sam's and get some crates of cans. Bring those if you can. Friends, I want to encourage you, with all seriousness, let's all get involved in this. I want to see us do something amazing for people who are in need and demonstrate the goodness of God to them. You know, we want to show them, me and Tommy were talking about this the other day. We want to not only give to them, but show them that truly, like we talked about last Sunday, the secret to living is giving. And we want to encourage them that just as we're giving to you, just out of love and releasing that force of love in our life, that if you'll do the same thing and give what you can, then you can see a life change take place for yourself as well. And so we not only want to bless them, but we want to show them how to live. And so how long will the food drive last, Tommy? About a month. So, you know, you've got time to bring it in. It's not a rush thing. But when you go to the grocery store, I'm sure at some point you'll go to the grocery store over the next couple of weeks. Some of you may go more than once. When you go, just pick up what you can and bring something and be a blessing with our food drive there. And I know that it'll not only bless them, but it'll bless the Lord. Amen. Go over, if you will, with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to look here in verse 19. If on the screens, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. On the screens, 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. We're going to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. While we're turning, if you don't have a Bible this morning and you would like one, we would love to give you one. And so our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. You can just lift up your hand and they will gladly give you a Bible if you'd like one. Our goal is to teach you the Word of God in a fun, exciting, and entertaining way. With that, we want to get the Word of God into your hands. And so if you don't have a Bible, we want to make sure that you get one. If you want one, if you don't have one at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. I had two messages that I was kind of debating back and forth to preach this morning. And one was tying into what we talked about a couple of weeks ago on Sunday mornings, following the Lord and talking about respecting, recognizing, and responding. And I wanted to major on that responding part and how the secret to miracles really is obedience. And it's true. It is. The secret to miracles is obedience. If you obey the Lord, you'll see the Lord come and move in your life. And so I was meditating on that during the week, and I had that. And then I had another message I was thinking about preaching, and it was on the subject of giving, picking up where we talked about last week, and talking about giving kindness and mercy, and figured that fit right in with our canned food drive there. And it just seemed like all throughout the week, I just couldn't find a groove there. And then in different conversations that I have with different people, it always seems like the same subject kept coming up. And yesterday, my niece came over, Kaylee, and she said, I don't make mention of her enough during service, so here you go, Kaylee. My niece came over to the house, and she was talking about summer camp. Our youth just got back from summer camp and the blessing that it had in her life and how it really turned some things for her. And And we were just celebrating that with her, encouraging her to keep walking in it. And we started talking about this subject that we're going to talk about this morning. And we just stayed right in that line. And as I walked away from the conversation, I went back in my room to pray and just go over the word. Like I said, I already had messages I could give. And the Lord just prompted me to make mention of what we were talking about. And even during the night last night, I couldn't go to sleep. And I just stayed up in prayer and got in the word. And the Lord started speaking to me specific things to say during this service. And what I want to talk to you today about is something that truly is utterly life-changing. I don't think we realize how life-changing it is. But for those of us who do, you already are reaping the benefits from it because you recognize the importance of it. It's the subject of divine connections, associations. Oftentimes, when God wants to do something new in your life, He'll bring someone or something in your life to associate with. I'm going to say that again. Oftentimes, when God wants to do something in your life, He'll bring someone or something in your life to associate with, to spend time with, to get around. And there's a couple of phrases that I want to make mention of today. The Lord spoke this to my heart last night. He said, people are pathways of power. People are pathways of power. If you get close enough to them, your life will go down the same path as theirs. People are pathways of power. It's a spiritual law. If you get close enough to them, your life will go down the same path as theirs. We see this here in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Jesus here, well, we'll start in verse 18 where you can see context. Jesus here is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. I want you to notice this phrase. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Whoever you follow, you are made into the same image as. Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were fishers. Their fathers were fishermen, and they were following in those same footsteps. Whatever you follow closely, your life will go down the same trail as. And they're following in those footsteps. And Jesus comes across them, and he says, I want you to do something. I want you to follow me. Now, this word follow, it's very interesting. It means to walk thoroughly with, closely with, to cling to. Follow me, and I will make you. Well, what did he make them? The same thing he was. Fishers of men. Who you follow, your life will go down the same path as. This is potent. I mean potent. If you want your life to look like something else, find people who are living the type of life you want to live and get closely to them. Now, you got to be led with it. And I like what Brother Hagin said. There are some people you can follow one thing in their life, but you can't follow everything else. If you get too closely to them, you'll pick up the same weaknesses that they have. And it's the truth. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22, David is basically running for his life in this particular chapter. And David is a man who God is using in a mighty, mighty way. That's why Saul was so threatened by him. I mean, David is killing lions and bears with his bare hands. He's just killed a giant in front of all of Israel. God is with him. He's fighting battles, and every battle that he's fighting, the Lord is helping him win it. It's miraculous to see what's taking place under David's hand. And Saul sees all of that and he gets jealous. And instead of keeping David close to him like he should have, he decided he'd run David off because he was threatened by him. And so he's pursuing after David, trying to kill him. And David has to hide out in the hills and caves of Adullam. And he's out there hiding out, and people start hearing about it. And notice, it's not just anyone, but notice the state these people are in who hear where David is. In 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2, it says, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves not unto a place, but unto a person. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So we see David, he's this champion, God's using in a mighty way. Saul's treating him unjustly, he's trying to kill him, so David has to run for his life. And people hear about David being out there in this secluded place. And they've got afflictions, they're distressed, they're in debt, they're discontented with life. And so they go unto him. They go unto this man David who's operating in the greatness of God. And you know what happened to these men? These men are the same ones who became David's mighty men. These men are the same ones who you can read about in 2 Samuel who are doing the same type of things that David did, killing giants. One of them killed a lion. He saw him in a pit and just dove in there with the lion and killed him with his bare hands. Another one saw a giant and didn't just kill him with the sling, ran after the giant, took the spear from the giant's hand and killed the giant. Well, how did these men do those things? These men are the same men who were in debt, who were discontented, who were suffering in life. How did they wind up doing great things? They got around someone who was. I heard a preacher say this. He's an elderly preacher. And I was having dinner with him one night. And I'm always enjoy my times like that, especially with people who have walked with the Lord for a number of years and been in ministry for a number of years. Because, you know, you get to a certain place where you just see what produces changes in people's lives. And I asked him, because as a pastor, my goal is to see life change take place in your life. My goal is to help facilitate it. I'm not just up here to preach to you and make you run around a room. No, I want you to see something from God's Word that if you apply it, you can see life change. And so I asked him, I said, why is it that so few people's lives do change? I mean, you see people here or there who just God blesses and, you know, they come into the church and God increases them and you can see God's moving in their life. But then other people, it seems like it's just not clicking for them. And this was his response. You know, you could go anywhere with those types of questions. And this was his response. He said, very few people see greatness in men. And I thought about that, and I was thinking about it even last night. The Lord brought it to my remembrance. That was it. That was his only response. He didn't elaborate on it. He didn't build on it. That was where he left it. Very few people see greatness in men. And as I was thinking about that last night, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's precisely why very few people are great. He said, because if you don't see greatness in men, then you don't know who to follow. And if you don't know who to follow, your life will walk down any path that you choose to take. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to ask you to do something. I know I did this last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Make out a list and ask yourself, who are people I need to draw close to? Who are people I need to bring closer to me? Who are people I need to follow after? And then ask yourself and ask God to show you, who do you need to not walk with anymore? Who do you need to separate yourself from? See, if you continue to be around those people who their lives are going down a negative way, friends, I like what my father used to tell me. It's much easier if you're standing on steps and someone's on the step above you to pull them down than it is for you to pull them up. For them to pull you down than it is for you to pull them up. And it's the absolute truth. Whoever you get around, the spirit that is on them will get off on you. Every time without fail. I'll show it to you through scripture. Go over to the book of Proverbs. Follow me and I will make you. What do you want to be made into? What do you want your life to look like? What do you want your life made into? Well, you got to find people to follow. Friends, even Jesus knew this. Psalms chapter 13 and verse 20. Even Jesus knew this. Think about it. Jesus had the masses he ministered to. Then he had 70 that he helped and put an anointing on them for them to go out and bless people. But then out of the 70, he had 12. 12 people he had close with him. But then out of the 12, he had 3. Peter, James, and John. And it just seems as if with those 3, he was closer to them than the others. It seemed as if they shared life with him more than the others. Even if you read the book of John and see how John describes his relationship with the Lord, he never calls himself by name. In John's gospel, he never calls himself John. You know what he calls himself? The disciple whom Jesus loved. They had a bond. They were close-knit. Jesus had 3 people he was closer with than anyone else. Friends, if Jesus had 3, do you? If Jesus had 3 people next to him who he walked with closely than anyone else, do you know who your 3 are? Who you're fellowshipping with? Do you know who you need to have around you? In the book of Proverbs, we see this here in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Notice, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walks with wise men shall what? Be wise. The wisdom that is on them will get off on you. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. In my office, you know, we've got, I forget how many employees, 17, something like that, employees here at the church. And with that, I noticed that here as of late, everyone's talking about running. I mean, they're just running. I mean, it spread from them to the church. Now, just all of a sudden, I mean, over a matter of weeks, we got a men's running club, a women's running club. It's a phenomenon. I mean, it's just everyone's talking about running. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I can pinpoint what happened. There's a guy, our children's pastor, who started running. And then we hired a new staff member who runs every day. And I think during the weekend runs something like 10 miles. And not only that, in our offices now, it's not like everyone has their own office. They're all together. Friend, if you walk with runners, you're going to run. They talk about it. They're passionate about it. They're energetic. I mean, you look at their screensavers. It's people running on their screensavers. The spirit that is on one gets off on someone else. Now, that's a positive thing. That's a positive thing. It's going to produce a positive change. But friends, it's the same principle. If you walk with people who are always bitter, you'll never master your love walk. The spirit that's on them will get off on you. If you have close fellowship, close fellowship with someone who's always negative, and their attitude's just always negative and down and depressed, the spirit that is on them will get off on you. Without fail, every time. Every time. Do you see how important this is? Think about probably what is the most important subject in the Bible, the subject of love. It is the New Testament commandment. I mean, we are called by God to walk in love. Everything hinges on it. Even our faith, it works by love. We've got to master this subject. And as hard as we can try to master it, if we're always around people who walk outside of love, who are judgmental and critical and watch programs and read magazines that are judging everything from people's hairdos to makeup to dresses and everything else, the spirit that is on that stuff will get off on you and you'll never walk in the love God has for you. I remember I was thinking about this a couple of months ago. I know the power of connection, divine connections. I saw it in the life of my father. My father had two men in his life who he followed hard after. I mean, he followed hard after. He'd have pictures up of them in their office. I mean, he just knew, I'm supposed to follow these two men. And those two men were Kenneth E. Hagin and Lester Summerall. And he knew it even as a young boy in Bible school, that these are the two men I'm supposed to follow, I'm supposed to get around. Now, if that bears witness in your heart, in his case it did, then God will make a way for you to walk with those individuals. And sure enough, as the church started to grow, he got a phone call one day, and it was from Lester Summerall, saying, I want to come preach in your church, just out of the blue. And out of that, a relationship flourished. Then as the church began to grow, sure enough, he started following Brother Hagin's meetings, getting in the meetings, getting in camp meetings and winter Bible seminars and trying to get him in the church. And finally he came. And I think he came to this church, as far as doing all faith crusades, more than any other church, Brother Hagin did. But he knew those are the two men he was to follow. And see, that spirit that was on those men got off on him. And the great things that they were doing, he started doing those things too. Going out in the mission field like Lester Summerall and having a heart for missions. Teaching and preaching and following along the same lines as Brother Hagin. And you got a boy who dropped out of high school on drugs but got fired up for the Lord, saw some wonderful things take place in his life, and a lot of it can be attributed to who he followed. And so I saw that as a young boy, and I started thinking about that a couple of months ago. Who am I following? Who am I allowing to get close to me? Who's speaking into my ear? You know, all throughout the Bible, you see God explicitly tell people, do not allow these people in your life. Remember Solomon? He told Solomon, do not take wives from these other countries. Do not take them. He said, because they will turn your heart from me. And Solomon didn't listen, and he took these wives into him. And sure enough, the thing that God said would happen did. They started turning his heart. Your associations will turn your heart. It'll turn your interest from walking to running. It'll change everything. It'll turn your heart. Those associations will. What you allow to get in your ear gate, what you see through your eye gate, it will pull your life in that direction. And you see Solomon's life wind up in pain and in misery because the wrong people got around him and he allowed them to stay. Think about Samson. What an awesome destiny God had for the man. What an awesome plan God had for him. Is it 9:29 already? What an awesome plan God had for him. I'm like on the first paragraph. Think about it. Think about Samson. God's spirit is all over the guy. I mean, it's nothing's impossible for him. Physically speaking, there's nothing he can't do. But you know what the enemy did? He does the same thing to you. It's the same thing to me. He saw a weakness in Samson. That's where the enemy always attacks you. He attacks you in your weaknesses. And he brought in a person to exploit that weakness, to win over Samson's heart and affections, to get in his ear. And sure enough, you see that connection happen so fast and get so close. And Samson finds himself with his head in the lap of a woman who means absolute destruction to him. And that connection changed the destiny of Samson's life. God was faithful to come back in and pick him up, but it shouldn't have ended that way. God had so much more for him, but that one person changed the course of Samson's life. See, the enemy, he doesn't invent anything. He twists what God has invented. And just as God knows the power of divine connections, there's a reason why Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. There's a reason why you know as Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Silas. Connections. Connections. And just as God knows that power, the enemy does too. And God and the enemy are fighting for your mind time. Who are you going to allow to speak into your life? Who are you going to get close to? I guess we'll close with this next scripture. Go read 1 Kings. I want to show you this. Book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. You guys are listening so good this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I was thinking about my father's connections, and I was asking him who I need to be close to. And I kid you not, as clear as day on the inside, in my mind I was thinking about this one individual, and it was someone I'd gleaned from the past. What is a gleamer? A gleamer is like what you saw them do occasionally throughout the Old Testament. They'd go into the fields and glean from the reapers. The reaper would come through the harvest fields and come through and pick up the wheat. But then gleamers would come through the field and pick up what the harvesters left behind. And that's what you're doing when you're following. You're following after these people who are doing some things and picking up what they leave behind, and it strengthens you. And so I was thinking about a man I'd gleaned from the past. And I kid you not, as clear as day on the inside, I had a witness that, I mean, I couldn't deny it. And I knew that I was not to receive anything from him. I mean, the Lord put it on my heart as clear as day. You are not to receive anything from him. It was so strong. If that man would have called me up the next day and said, I want to cut you a check for $1 million, I'd have sent it back. I mean, I'm serious. I would have torn it up or send it back to him. I wouldn't have received a penny from him. I wouldn't have received any type of wisdom from him. It was that strong from the Lord. And it broke my heart. I mean, it broke my heart. I started crying because I love the man. From a natural standpoint, I deeply care about him. I debated it with the Lord. But friends, there's a reason why God told Abram, separate yourself from your family. He said, you got to get away from him. And you know, Abraham held on to someone God told him to let go. And as long as Lot was in Abraham's life, there was a part of Abraham's destiny that he would never get into until Lot was separated from him. And I knew God was telling me to do the same thing. You got to separate yourself there. And friends, when that happens, you got to be faithful to do it. And I look back from a distance, because you don't always know why. But over the next couple of months, I saw something change. There was a situation that came up in this ministry of the man I was following. And it just caused strife. I mean, right in the middle of it, everyone who was close to him, it got strife off on him. And I kid you not, I looked at him. And I looked at them over the course of months, and you could see a hardness come on them. Just hard. Hard with their people, hard in preaching, hard in all. They're speaking the truth, but it wasn't in love. And then I looked and I saw everything in their life started decreasing. Their ministries, their churches. And they're trying to do all the natural things to pull it together. But a fighting spirit is what it was, had got off on them. They're fighting everyone, even their own people who are trying to help them. That association trickled down. It started from the top and went all the way down to the bottom of it. We see this here. We'll close with this story. In 2 Kings chapter 2, it said, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." In verse 2, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee." He said, "Don't follow me anymore, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Go down to verse 4 for the sake of time. "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here." He tells him again, "Stop following me, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he hath said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Go down to verse 6. "And Elisha said unto him again, tarry, I pray thee, stop following me. For the Lord has sent me the Jordan. And he has said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. Now notice this in verse 7. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets." Now these are people who were sons of the prophets. They were next in line to be prophets. Elisha was just someone Elijah found working out in a field. Notice what they were doing. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off." Elisha's saying, as long as you're alive and as long as I'm alive, I'm staying with you. You're not going to get me to back off from you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. And he's following him closely. And watch this in verse 9. "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a very hard thing. Nevertheless," notice this next phrase, "if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." Now for the whole chapter, what have we been seeing Elijah trying to do for Elisha? Don't see me, don't stay around me, don't be around me. And Elisha says, no, wherever you go, I will go with you. And it comes down to Elisha's destiny. And he asked him, Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want? He said, I want a double anointing of your spirit. And he said, it's conditional on one thing. If you see me when I be taken away. If you see me, my spirit will rest upon you. If you don't, it will not. Friends, what if he would have stopped following him? What if back there in Jordan, back there in Jericho, if he'd have said, you're right, it's been nice knowing you, but I need to get back. He'd have missed out. And you see, well, let's go and read it. We'll read the verse 15. You see the outcome of it. And it says in verse 15, "And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." How'd that spirit get there? Wasn't by being a son of a prophet. Wasn't by any of that. It was by association. Elisha served Elijah. He got around him as much as he could. And through that association, God began to work in his life. The spirit that was on Elijah got off on Elisha, as it is with you. The people and the things you follow closely with and closely to, the spirit that is on those things will get off on you without fail every time. If you want to be wise, you got to walk with wise men. If you want to see increase, get around people who are increasing. If you want to walk in love, bring some people in your life who are good at the subject. And if the Lord's dealing with you to not receive anything from anyone anymore, to back off a little, then friends, you got to be faithful to do what God is telling you to do. Because there's a path their life is going down. And if you don't want your life to go down that path, you got to quit following them. You can't have them that close to you. They'll pull you down the exact way they're going. Friends, search your heart. Make out a list. Who should I be around? Who do I need to follow closely? What do I need to follow closely? I know for me, I've got about 6 people I follow, 3 of which are dead. They're not alive anymore. How can you follow someone? You read their books. You get around them. Those 3 are preachers. Get as much as their CDs around you. Walk with them that way. I know Brother Hagin said when Smith Wigglesworth went home to be with the Lord and John G. Lake, he knew there was something about their lives that he wanted. So he got around them as much as possible. Maybe yours are other business leaders or people in the community or specific people and you want to live a life like they're living or see a characteristic they have get off on you. You got to get around those people. The spirit that is on them will get off on you. I could go on and on and on and on, but we just bleed right over into next service. So we'll see what the Lord has for us next week. We'll see. But if I don't want people getting upset with me in the